is that Abel had obedient worship. Obedient worship. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Wow. Wow. He offered a more. Here are two brothers. They both are coming to bring an offering. And the Bible says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Obedient worship. Obedient worship.
Welcome to Encouraging Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Burke Institute of Biblical Studies, author and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of the faith of Abel, obedient worship. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of the faith of Abel, obedient worship.
And we gave it to the saints to pray so that they could see what they were praying for. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things. That's all we had, was a vision, was a picture. I don't know, y'all getting tired of hearing me say this, but what you're sitting in today is the substance. What you're sitting in today is the evidence of things that we had faith in years ago. And actually, we started this campaign back in about 2010, 2011. And so it's been, you know, all those years. And we finally got in here a couple years ago. But saints, and so what I'm trying to say is that sometimes in your life, you got to have faith, and you can't lose sight of what it is that you are working for. You know, if it's a college degree, if it's writing a book, if it's getting that job that you want, if it's raising a family, you can't lose sight. You got to have something to take the place until you get the thing. And so that's what we're talking about for the next couple weeks. Faith. Faith is what we're talking about. And this morning, we're going to look at Abel. You remember Cain and Abel in the Bible. And so this morning we're going to look at Abel's faith. And so we have a little introductory video that I want to show. And I'll come back and say a few things. And then we'll be done on this Youth Sunday.
The story of Cain and Abel begins right after Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden. Because they ate the fruit that God commanded them not to eat, sin entered the world and cursed God's perfect creation. Adam and Eve could no longer stay in the garden and now had to live in the world, which was a much harder place to live in. The ground produced thistles and thorns, which made it harder for them to farm for food. Pain, suffering, and death were now a part of life. It was after Adam and Eve left the garden that they had two baby boys. The oldest was named Cain, and the youngest was named Abel. When they grew up, Cain became a farmer and worked the ground, and Abel became a shepherd and took care of sheep. In the course of time, both Cain and Abel gave offerings to God. Since Cain was a farmer, he brought God some of the produce of the land. Except he didn't bring the best. He kept the best of his crops for himself instead of giving it to God. Abel also presented offerings to God, except Abel brought the best that he had. He gave God the firstborn of his flocks and the best of his sheep. When God looked upon the two offerings, he was happy with Abel's offering because Abel trusted God and gave him the best. But God was not pleased with Cain's offering. Cain was furious that God was more pleased with Abel. The Lord saw how Cain was feeling and asked him.
What a story that we find in the early chapters of our Bible. That there were two brothers and they made an offering to God. One made an offering of vegetables, and the other one made an offering of a lamb or a sheep or some type of animal. And God had respect for one offering, and the other offering he didn't respect. And as a result of Abel's offering, we fast forward to the New Testament, and Abel is mentioned in Hebrews 11. We call Hebrews 11 the Hall of Faith. And the people that got into Hebrews 11 got there because they did some great act of faith. And so it was Abel. You just saw the story, Cain and Abel. You know, going back to the early parts of the Bible. You saw the story and what they offered and what they brought to God. And God had respect for Abel's offering. And so we're going to look at Abel this morning. And I have four things I want to share with you. You know, people started letting me know that, you know, Pastor, you need to start passing out notes again. they say, we need to get the notes again. So starting this week with this series, we're going to reinstitute, you know, before the pandemic, you know, we pass out notes every Sunday. And once the pandemic hit, we stopped. So a lot of things are starting back slowly. So the passing out of the notes are being kicked back in the gear. And so if you want to follow along on the screen or you want to follow along on your notes, and you know, I tried to leave some extra room. So if you want to write some stuff down, you know, write some things that God might speak to your heart about, or maybe some side notes that you would have the opportunity to do that. But the first thing that we see is that Abel had obedient worship. Obedient worship. Look what it says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Wow! Wow! He offered a more. Here are two brothers. They both are coming to bring an offering. And the Bible says that Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Obedient worship. Obedient worship. What does that mean? It means three things. It means that his sacrifice was offered by faith. That he believed in God. He believed in what God said. You know, You can't touch God. You can feel him moving, but you can't feel God, right? God is a spirit. And so the only thing that we have to help us is faith. When you think about how many senses do we have? Five, right? And when you think about your five senses, what do? They bring you in touch with the world around you. That you can see the things in the world around you. You can hear the things in the world around you. You can touch the things in the world around you. You can smell the things in the world around you. Your five senses, they bring you in touch with this world. It enables me to see this pulpit, to touch this pulpit. It enables me, if these flowers were given off a scent, to be able to smell these flowers, right? That my senses help me to do that. But what helps me get in touch with God? It's that sixth sense. And everybody don't have it. You don't have that sixth sense unless you're a child of God. Amen. And the sixth sense, amen, is faith. Faith helps me to experience God in all his fullness. And so Abel had faith in God. And his sacrifice, it says, was excellent. That in the eyes of God, that Cain brought vegetables, Abel brought an animal sacrifice, and when God looked at both of them, he said that Abel's sacrifice was more excellent than Cain. It was far greater spiritually. It was far greater in value And somebody had mentioned it earlier that Abel brought the best. And Cain maybe held back a little bit. But it's that third point that I believe is the most important, and that his sacrifice was in obedience to God's instruction. You see, I believe as we look at Genesis chapter 3 in verse 21, where God already required an animal sacrifice. Because when Adam and Eve sinned, what was the first thing that God did? He killed an animal. And he covered them with the skins. And I believe that Adam and Eve told their sons and said, you know, the sacrifice that pleases God is an animal sacrifice. Now, that's my belief. Some theologians may disagree with that. Some people may disagree with that. But that's what I believe. And so I believe that the reason that God rejected Cain's offering is because he didn't bring an animal sacrifice. Well, you'll say, well, he was a keeper of the ground. He was a farmer. All he had to bring was fruits and vegetables. Ah, but he could have taken some of those, his best fruits and vegetables. And he could have took them to his brother Abel and said, you raise the sheep. Let me give you some of the best fruits and vegetables that I have. Let me give you the first fruits of what I have raised. Let me give them to you for sheep so that I can offer an animal sacrifice. Amen. And that God would be pleased. Amen. That God would be pleased. He had obedient worship. And so Abel's heart was right with God, but Cain's heart was not. Abel's right heart was in bringing the best. Cain's was not. Now, I'm going to ask a question, and I don't want the young people to answer because I know how some of them might answer. Right? But the question I'm going to ask, or watch it now. Do you get bored when you come to church? Yeah. All right, Hey, I tell you what, I'm a prophet. I told you that was going to be the answer, right? All right. So I'm not going to talk so much to the maybe kids, even though I am talking to you. I'm going to talk to the adults. If you get bored when you come to church, have you ever thought about that? That's an indication of your heart. Just go back to Cain and Abel. Why did God respect Abel's offering and reject Cain's offering? Because Cain's heart was not right with God. Abel's heart was right with God. And so when we think about the fact that maybe we come to church and, you know, we say that, man, I don't get anything out of coming to church. It's just a waste of time. You know, is that an indication of where your heart is at? You know, I think of this lady that came to Jesus, and she wanted Jesus to bless her. And Jesus said that, you know, he had to take care of his people first, and then he'd take care of others. And the lady said, even the dogs can eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And I'm saying that they, saints, no matter how boring the speaker is, right? I mean, the speaker might be so boring that it's almost like sitting there and watching paint dry on the wall, right? That's how boring the speaker is. I mean, you say, I might as well be sitting here watching paint dry on the wall. That's how boring this guy is, right? And the fact of the matter is, if you come in your heart and you are looking for, somebody hear me now. If you are looking for just a crumb, if you are looking for a crumb, you might not be looking for a loaf of bread. You might not be looking for a slice of bread. You might just be looking for a crumb. I guarantee you that God will give you a crumb if you come with that heart. So keep in mind, in your worship a lot of times is an indication of where your heart is at, of where your heart is at. He had obedient worship. I like this right here. He had an outstanding witness. He had an outstanding witness. Look what Hebrews 11:4 says. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That his witness, that people looked at him and saw that he was right with God. And when you look at your life, I'm not saying that you got to be a saint. I'm not saying that you got to be some holy roller. I'm just saying, do you basically do the things that are right? Do you make right choices? You know, in school, do you make right choices? You know, when you're at home by yourself, do you make right choices? You know, it says that he obtained witness that he was righteous. Now, let me share with you two things that are going to blow your mind, because it blew mine. Jesus Christ gave witness to the righteousness of Abel. In Matthew 23:35, Jesus called Abel righteous Abel. Man, you know, when you got Jesus Christ giving a witness about you, you must be doing something right. And not only that, but the Apostle John in 1 John 3:12 gave witness to the righteousness of Abel. He called him righteous Abel. So here's a guy that appeared in the Old Testament just for a couple verses. And all of a sudden, he got 3 references in the New Testament. Wow, wow. You know, I heard a story about a policeman. And he followed this car. And he put the sirens on. And the person was trying to figure out why the police was following them. And so they pulled over. And the police came up. And they said, "Officer, why are you following me?" He said, "Well, let me see your license and your registration." And he looked at it, and it all checked out. He said, "Oh, I was just checking it out." He said, "Because I thought this car was stolen." "Well, why did you think it was stolen?" "Well, because on the back of your bumper, it said, 'Honk if you love Jesus.' But I saw you when somebody pulled in front of you, you gave them the middle finger." "So I thought the car was stolen." Are you giving indication of your righteousness? Who's giving witness to your righteousness? That policeman did not give witness to that person's righteousness, but actually gave witness to the fact that the person was doing something wrong. Let me move on to my third point. And my third point is this: Abel had an omnipotent word. Wow, this is powerful, man. This is powerful. Look what it says here. God testified of his gifts. God testified. Isn't it something when God, somebody might say, "Well, I want my pastor to testify about me," or "I want the deacon," or "I want my parents to testify." And it's all good when people can testify, but when you got God saying a word for you, when God says, "Have you considered," and I'm just going to look at these guys sitting here on the front row, right? If you consider my girl, right? Have you considered them? Man, they are living such a righteous life. Have you looked at their life? God put Job on Front Street. When the devil showed up, God said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" Man, when you got God testify, and Abel was so righteous and he had so much faith that God testified about him. So, this is where your notes come in, right? This is where your notes come in handy, right? Abel had an obedient worship. Abel had an outstanding witness. Abel had an omnipotent word. And then finally, we see Abel had ongoing worth. He had ongoing worth. It says, as we hit this last point, "And by it, by faith, he being dead still speaks. The man is dead and gone. He's dead, but he's still speaking. What a powerful testimony. He had ongoing worth. Abel has ongoing worth because he continues to speak even though he's dead. Do you know that when you leave this life, that you are going to continue to speak? Notice the verses that I have up here, that you will speak. Your life will still speak when you leave here. Proverbs 10:17 says, the memory of the just is blessed. Wow. The memory. Those who have died and lived a good life and lived a righteous life and lived to try to help other people, that your memory will be blessed. That people will think about you and they will say, wow, that was a good person. That person, you know, was an outstanding individual. But notice what it says here. Your life will speak something positive or your life will speak something negative. Because it says, the name of the wicked shall rot. Shall rot. Your name is going to rot on this earth in negativity, in wrongdoing. And so we need to realize that we are building a name for ourselves while we're here. And it says that even though Abel is dead, he still speaks from the grave. And then I'm going to close with this quote by James Moffat. If you put it up there on the screen, it says here, death is never the last word in the life of a man or woman. When a man or woman leaves this world, be he righteous or unrighteous, he leaves something in the world. You know, just think about the youth. When you leave your school, when you graduate from one school to the next school, from grade school to junior high, from junior high to high school, graduate from high school, you want to leave something behind, right? It's going to either be a righteous or unrighteous testimony, but you're going to leave something behind. He may leave something that will grow and spread like a cancer or a poison, or he may leave something like the fragrance of perfume or a blossom of beauty that permeates the atmosphere with blessing. You're going to leave something behind. Cain left a rotten name behind. Abel left a blessed name behind. And so as we look at our faith journey to the resurrection, Abel's faith speaks to us about how obedience in our worship, which is our adoration, our giving, and our serving, is pleasing to God and is a witness to others. So as we move towards the resurrection, think about obedient worship. That during these next couple weeks, Lord, I want to be obedient in my worship to you.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of The Faith of Enoch, a faith that takes you out of this world, from our series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, The Faith of Abel, Obedient Worship, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Abel, Obedient Worship. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request The Faith of Abel, Obedient Worship from our series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection. Or call us at 877-831-5060. Keep in mind, the entire series, A Faith Journey to the Resurrection, is made available by request. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galaise. Dr. Galaise is the author of 10 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that he is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm Sonia Hall reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.